Well, good morning. Friends, welcome to Revely United Methodist Church. My name is Bayo Ogunbade, and I am one of the associate pastors here. I am so glad that you all are here to join us this morning, whether you are in person or if you're online. I'm so glad that you're here. We've got a lot of things to share this morning, and I want to share that I've got a couple of announcements to get into before we start our worship service this morning. So I'm sure as you all were walking in, I want to share that our United Women in Faith are doing a bake sale. And if you were anything like me and you gave up sweets for Lent, I will tell you this is a great way to break it. So I want to share, on your way out this morning, feel free to stop by and grab a nice sweet. They got cookies, they have cakes, it's so many sweets. And I do also want to share that all the proceeds will go to the various mission ministries that we have here at Revely Church. So know that your hard-earned money will be going to good places. I also now want to direct your attention to the center of your bulletin as we share in all the Holy Week things that we've got going on this coming week. The first thing is that Holy Thursday is this coming Thursday at 6 p.m. in our fellowship hall. It'll be a time where we will have dinner and we will have a short service to just commemorate the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. In order to register, you can look on your bulletin. There's a link to register, and registration closes tomorrow. We want to have you there, and we want to make sure that you are there. So please register and come join us for that. Next, I want to share the following day on Good Friday at 7 p.m. here in our sanctuary, we will be having a tenebrae service, which is a service of darkness. And we will, that time will be a time where we observe Jesus' crucifixion on the cross. So we hope you all, you don't have to register for that. We hope you'll be able to come and join us on Good Friday or on Holy Thursday. Now, I also want to share that on Easter Sunday, we have four services. The first service is at 6:45. It's our sunrise service, and it'll be outside in our garden area. We will have another service at 8:15 here in our sanctuary, another 9:30 service in our fellowship hall, and our last service of the morning at 11 o'clock here in our sanctuary. So there are plenty of times and opportunities for you to get some Jesus on Easter Sunday, this coming Sunday. I also lastly want to share that on Easter Sunday throughout the whole day, there will be a floral cross in the front circle of our church outside. So please feel free to add to it as you feel led all morning. It'll be there. I know that was a whole bunch. So friends, may the Lord be with you. At this time, I want to invite you all to stay seated with me this morning as we share in our words of the call to worship. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His steadfast love endures forever. Open to me the gates of righteousness, that I may enter through them and give thanks to the Lord. I thank you that you have answered me and become my salvation. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
This time, please stand and join in singing our Glory, Laud, and Honor on this Palm Sunday. May be seated.
Thank you. Good morning, Reveille. My name is Karen Rios, and I'm the Director of Children's Ministries here. And if we have any friends who are with us online, please move forward. This is your time as well. Today we have very special presentations, and so I would like to invite all of the children in our audience to come up front with us. And I would also like to invite our children in worship class to stand on the back steps. Children in worship is something that we do every year, and it's something that our children thoroughly enjoy. And at the very end of the very end, they're given a special presentation. I would also like to recognize all of our amazing instructors who do this. We have Sarah Takix, we have Carolyn Nurr, and Bonnie Mills. And Sarah's going to be presenting a little bit about children in worship.
Today, we're here to celebrate the children who have participated in the children's worship class at Reveille. Specifically for second to fifth graders, this program has evolved over the years, but its purpose remains the same: to provide hands-on and authentic experiences related to worship. From January to March, we focus on one specific part of a worship service. One lesson may focus on music. Another may focus on prayer or baptism. One lesson focuses on identifying the people of the church, such as who is Pastor Pete, Caleb, or Daniel. By the end of the program, the children have attended all three services, the 8:30, 9:30, and 11 o'clock services, giving us the opportunity to discuss their similarities and differences. The worship class is well known for its field trips around the church. Some favorite activities include practicing how to be an acolyte and participating in a scavenger hunt around the sanctuary. To recognize what these young disciples have learned, they're presented with a hymnal, a Bible, or a devotional at the conclusion of the class, depending on how many years they have attended. This is truly a special and unique part of Reveille's Christian youth education. We're pleased to announce the names of this year's class. Okay, be ready. Those receiving Bibles today include Leah Atkins, Adeline Cahoon, Felicity Seneviva, Ann Thomas Chapin, Libby Leffler, and Haven Reed. Hymnals today will be given out to Everett Baker. He's not here today. Cooper Lockerman. And devotionals are given to those who have already received both a Bible and hymnal in the past. And those receiving devotionals today include Kendall Seneviva, Evan Call. He's not here today. Annabelle Nakamas. And Christian Takis. Thank you.
Pastor Pete, did you want to say something?
I do. I just want to say how awesome it is and say thank you to each of you for your hard work in learning all about these things. And what you have learned this year is very important, whether it be you're getting your hymnal or your devotional or your Bibles. And we would like to encourage you to remember all the lessons you have learned, and all these people out here are here to support you and help you continue to learn. I want to say a word to you also who have just received your Bibles. And we have marked the passage out for you that we're going to be reading in just a few minutes. So I would like to encourage and invite you to read with us when we have the Bible reading here in just a minute. But to always remember that these words can change your life, and how important it is to spend some time in reading all of the words. And I would like to offer a prayer for all of you. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity, the hard work that has gone into this worship class. As they receive these devotionals, these hymnals, these Bibles, bless them and keep them and speak to each and every one of them as we celebrate this great name, great day in the name of Jesus. Amen.
At this time, we're going to invite the primary ringers to go to their bells. Everybody else can go back to their seats. And I would like to once again thank all of our teachers for our children worship, Sarah and Bonnie and Carolyn and Allison Call, who's not with us today.
As the children are making their way back to their seats, I just want to say a word, how amazing this picture is. Amen? To see all these children up here learning about God in the palm procession, receiving Bibles. And what I want to say in all of that is how appreciative I am in all the work you do to make that happen. What we do every week makes this happen. And in just a moment, we're going to be receiving our morning offering. But as we do, I hope you will hear a word of thanks from me and from all of us, that your generosity has been such a part of this picture we hear to say. We thank you for all that you do as we invite the ushers to come forward now to receive our morning offering.
As the kids find their way back to their seat, let's all join in singing this great hymn of Palm Sunday, number 277, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. You may remain seated.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be together in Christian fellowship. And we thank you for this opportunity now in our time of worship to give our gifts back to you. We pray that these gifts will transform the lives of all the people that it will touch, in all the communities, in all the areas, in all the ways. We lift up these prayers to you in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And all of God's people said, amen. Please be seated.
Please join me in praying the prayer for illumination. Draw us close, Holy Spirit, as the scriptures are read and the word is proclaimed. Let the word of faith be on our lips and in our hearts, and let all other words slip away. May there be one voice we hear today, the voice of truth and grace. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 through 11. This may be found on page 823 of your pew Bible. Jesus and his disciples are going to Jerusalem shortly before Passover. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethpage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you, 'Why are you doing this?' just say this, 'The Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately.' They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, 'What are you doing, untying the colt?' They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that they had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, 'Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven.' Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord God, it is our prayer this day that you would speak to each and every one of us. It is our prayer that you would remind us of who and whose we are, that you would remind us that indeed we too are those faces in the crowds of which we have read already. Surround us as we listen to your word, O Lord, and open our hearts and minds to hear a new thing, for we ask this through Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Well, as we listen this morning to that procession of the palms, that journey so long ago of Jesus and the cohort as they made their way up to Jerusalem, I'm remembering a time many years ago when I was in Israel and I was a part of a similar journey. We were following the very same path that Jesus and his cohort and disciples would have followed. You heard the story. They started in Jericho. Now, Jericho is the lowest city in the planet. It's 800 feet below sea level. And then the pilgrims would make that journey all the way from there up the winding switchbacks until they came over the crest of the Mount of Olives and looked upon Jerusalem all below them. And they would have done that years ago. On foot. They would have done that in the desert. They would have done that going those switchbacks on their own. We did it on an air-conditioned bus, right? But we had this Jewish tour guide who was very exuberant in all of it. We did it. We're on the bus. We're winding our way around the switchbacks, going from Jericho all the way up to Jerusalem. We're approaching the Mount of Olives, and our guide timed it just right because he had one of these very small boom boxes, but that didn't bother him. He just cranked the volume way up. and with distorted sound coming across. He was singing this song, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And we crossed the top of the hill, the Mount of Olives, and there before us, of course, was the city of Jerusalem. And despite a bit of a over-the-top production, it really was this incredible and impressive sight. And it helped me, and perhaps I hope today you, to understand the journey of these pilgrims of so long ago, because they're climbing. They're singing psalms and hymns and making their way up, and they make their way to the Mount of Olives. And as they're singing, there before them is the holy city, the chosen residence of our God, the place of Jerusalem. And it helps us to think about the mood and expectations that are underneath the words of Mark in the scripture. Here's Jesus. He's riding in on a colt, just like the scripture said the Son of God would do. And here's Jesus, the one who has all this power, all this possibility. And with him coming in, there's this frenzy of hope, expectation, anticipation, all the things that are going to be happening in all of the king is coming into his city. And I was there in one fashion 12 years ago. But this morning, we're together asking it in a broader sense. In the context of that familiar hymn, were you there? Were you there in the crowds a couple thousand years ago shouting Hosanna? And were you there perhaps in the very same crowd which a week later was shouting Crucify? Were you there? You know, as Western people, we might easily say no, because we think a little bit differently from most of history and most other cultures throughout the world, because our identity tends more towards the individual. When we think of who we are, we default to a personal pronoun. But much of the rest of the world and history, they don't go there. They default to a group, community, nation, tribe. And so perhaps for us, it's a little bit more difficult to find our face in this crowd, in the procession or in the crowd shouting Crucify. But even so, let's go with it and push a little bit to see if we can find our face in these two crowds. So let's begin with the procession. They're dropping their cloaks, placing the branches on the road. What do you think those folks are looking for? What do you think is their expectation? What's driving that exuberance? The king is coming. Do you see it? The king is coming. He's the one, capital O, that we have been waiting for. He's going to make it better. He's going to fix it. He is going to enable you and me and that crowd to live the lives that we haven't been able to live the lives for which we have so long yearned. And see, just like those people in the procession, friends, we too are looking for a king. We too are looking for a king. We too are looking for a leader in our day, a king or a queen, but somebody who will deliver us, somebody who will bring it, somebody who will address all the wrongs, someone who can fix all the problems that we have and our world has today. Because in that context, the words of the pilgrims so long ago, they're not complicated. One word, Hosanna, which is a Hebrew word combining a prayer and a praise, but an appeal for God to save us and save us right now. Do you see a similar sentiment in our world today? I mean, most of us would not disagree with the assessment that most everything today is politicized. And as we enter into an election season, do we dare wonder if we don't ask our political candidates to take on a similar role? And underneath it all is perhaps our unspoken assumption that if we just had the right one, just had the right leader, just the right person to enter into our Jerusalem, everything would be okay. Save us and save us now. Now, is that exaggerated? Maybe, maybe not. It certainly does highlight the innate need that all of us have inside of us. We're looking for a leader. We're looking for a king. Someone that moves all the way from the palm procession so long ago to our contemporary American political landscape. someone who will fulfill our deepest desires and lead us to a better place. And isn't that the theme that you find in so many movies and literature and other things that are out there today? Is that not the theme of The Lord of the Rings? Is not the theme of the movie The Matrix as they're looking for the one? Is that not the theme of Black Panther? You can go on and on. How about the TV series The Crown and Queen Elizabeth? It goes on. But we don't have to go to Hollywood because that theme is developed in a profound way all through the pages of the scriptures. From the failures of Solomon and his line to the successes and the failures of David to the hope that is placed on Queen Esther and her role in saving the Jews. You see? That's us. We are looking for a leader who can actually bring it to bear on the harsh realities that we have to live with in our life and in our world. But the thing is, we don't want just any king. We want a leader who will solve those problems and solve them now. See, that was in the minds, perhaps somewhere, in the beauty of that palm procession so long ago. Jesus was here. Jesus had all this power, Son of David, Messiah. And they, at the same time, they were dealing with the cruel leadership of the Romans. And Jesus was going to come and make it all right. Hosanna, blessed is the name who comes in the name of the Lord. But as we look for our faces in that palm procession, do you see what's wrong with that picture? Now, the Romans are bad. That is certainly true. But as we make our way through the week, we also see that they aren't the only problem. Because the issue we think is out there, the problem is out there. That's the benefit of living in a highly politicized culture. There is always somebody to blame. We're trying to find somebody who's going to fix it. And when we can do that, we don't have to think about ourselves, focus on ourselves, deal with ourselves. But again, the problem is that so often, we are the problem. Do you remember the story of Jesus in John 4? He's meeting with a woman at the well. It's an unusual conversation. Jesus talking to a woman at the well in the middle of the day. But they're having this fascinating yet transformative conversation. She was going to all the political, religious drama of the day. But Jesus kept bringing it right back home. He was dealing with her heart. She was deflecting to all the issues around her. But you see, Jesus at that encounter was Messiah enough, not only of the world, but of her heart. And he went right there to heal her. And perhaps we can be honest and confess that often our search for the perfect king or queen or leader is very convenient because it keeps us from looking too deeply into ourselves. You know, I was reading this week an article from author and blogger Richard Simmons III. He tells the story of a very old segment of 60 Minutes. It was a time when Mike Wallace was there, and he documented the story of Adolf Eichmann. You might remember he was the Nazi SS officer who was in charge of the Jewish extermination. And Eichmann, if you know the story, had escaped post-war Germany, fled to Switzerland, and then from there he fled to Argentina, where he was hiding out for 15 years until the Nation of Israel, with a special investigation, found him, brought him back to Israel, and in 1961 put him on trial in Israel. And Mike Wallace was going through all this, and he asked his viewers, I quote, "How is it possible for a man to act as Eichmann acted? Was he a monster, a madman, or was he perhaps something even more terrifying? Was he normal?" And then Wallace follows all this up with an interview with Yehiel Diner, who was a concentration camp survivor who had testified against Eichmann at Eichmann's 1961 trial. And what happened is, in the middle of the testimony, Diner, he just fell on the floor, weeping uncontrollably. And in all of that, Diner explained, the years later, explained this moment in the trial when he fell down to Mike Wallace. He said, and I quote, "I was afraid about myself. I saw that I am capable of doing this. I am exactly like he. Eichmann was no longer the powerful Nazi who had orchestrated the Holocaust. Rather, he was simply an ordinary man. And then Mike Wallace, he closes the segment looking in the camera, he says, and concludes, Eichmann is in all of us. Well, Alexander Solzhenitsyn said the same thing. The line separating good and evil passes not through states, nor between classes, nor between political parties either, but right through every human heart. So friends, perhaps we can't find our faces in that procession of the palms so long ago. Let's acknowledge that indeed we were there. We want a king. And we want a king who will take care of it all, so perhaps and hopefully we don't have to deal with ourselves. And it's true, we're looking for a king, but there's another thing we're looking for. Because as we move into that scene of the crucifixion on this Palm Passion Sunday, we too have to recognize we are looking at the king. We're looking at the king. Notice all the references to the crowd, how they change, and we'll be reading this in just a moment. They're not so positive. We find out these Hosanna shouting crowds are a bit fickle. They're asking now for Barabbas. They are manipulated by the religious leaders, so they shout, crucify. Now, it's not hard, perhaps, to imagine ourselves in that procession shouting Hosanna, but what about there at the foot of the cross to find our face in the crowd? In those verses, we will read momentarily. But there's help here. Mark brings it up to one person who brings it all together. Surprisingly, it's the soldier at the foot of the cross, and he witnesses it all. He sees these powerful, cosmic, cataclysmic events, darkness for 3 hours, and yet he sees the compassion and love coming from the Savior. Lord, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He puts that all together, those two pictures, and he says, surely this man was the Son of God. The soldier looking at Jesus sees the truth of it all. And it's important to remember that's not the only call we'll have. This Friday, when we come to our tenebrae service, we're going to have Pilate coming out with Jesus dressed in a robe and crown of thorns, beaten and whipped. And he will say, Israel, behold your king. And the question comes to us, what kind of king is this? And the answer is simple. He is everything you and I are searching for. He is the one, capital O, for whom your soul and my soul yearns. This is the king that we need, the one to whom we cry, Hosanna. Because here's the thing that the soldiers saw. This king has all the power that there is. He is the one, we learn at Christmas, the one for whom nothing is impossible. There's no restraints upon his power except that he is restrained by love. Love for you and love for this world. Fickle people that we are, broken people that we are, who can move from a celebratory cry of Hosanna to a cry of crucify, give us Barabbas. Yet this king looks at you and me from the cross with unbounded and forgiving love. You know, any king or queen or leader can exercise power without restraint when they have it. And there also can be leaders who can exercise leadership with love but don't have any power. But this king, who Pilate will bring out for us on Friday night and says, behold your king, this king has both power and love without limit. He has all the power that there is. And he also has compassion. And he has love. Love for you. Love for me, love for those, love that is unwarranted. That's why we call it grace. This king on the cross has love even for the Eichmanns of the world. This king on the cross, he looks at you and me. He has love even for the Eichmanns in you and me. And so, friends, were you there? Yes, we were. But let's look carefully at what we see. We're going to be offering the words of the Passion story in just a moment. And let's take on that view of the soldier a view of our Lord, who has all the power that there is, and looks at you and me from the cross in that crowd with the look of love, compassion, and forgiveness. Because with that view, as we will see in the week to come, there is hope. Hope for you, hope for me, and hope for this world. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I invite you to remain seated as we turn together to hymn number 288, Were You There? We'll use the verses scattered throughout the Passion reading this morning, so please be ready to sing verses 1, 2, 4, and 5 when prompted.
Were you there when they crucified my Lord?
Passion of the Christ, as told by the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verses 1 through 47. As soon as it was morning, the chief priest held a consultation with the elders and scribes and the whole council. They bound Jesus, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate. Pilate asked him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" He answered him, "You say so." Then the chief priest accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again, "Have you no answer? See how many charges they bring against you." But Jesus made no other reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them, "Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?" For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priest had handed him over. But the chief priest stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again, "Then what do you wish for me to do with the man you call the King of the Jews?" They shouted back, "Crucify him." Pilate asked them, "Why? What evil has he done?" For they shouted all the more, "Crucify him." So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard of the palace, that is the governor's headquarters, and they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak, and after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him, "Hail, King of the Jews." They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. And after mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him out to crucify him.
Were you there? Were you there?
They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide what each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "Aha! You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." In the same way, the chief priest, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying, "He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him taunted him also. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon.
Were you there when the sun refused to shine?
At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "Listen, he is calling Elijah." And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down." Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. And the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that all this in this way, he breathed his last and said, "Truly, this man was God's son." There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James the younger, and of Joseph, and of Salome. These used to follow him and provided for him when he was in Galilee, and there were many other women who had come up with him to Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead, and summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth, and taking down the body, he wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in a tomb that had been hewn out of the rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where the body was laid.
Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Were you there when they laid him in the tomb? Oh, sometimes.
Let us pray. O God, you know us as we are, and you love us. You know how fickle we can be, how we can one moment be shouting Hosanna, and then just moments later also be shouting Crucify. Forgive us, O God, for those times when we do not live up to our better angels. Forgive us, O God, for those times when we do not recognize Jesus and do not understand the kind of Savior he is. Forgive us, O God, for those times when we do not put our trust in Jesus, but instead put our trust in other things and in other leaders. Forgive us, O God, for those times when we are silent in the face of injustice. God of strength and mercy, by the suffering and death of your Son, you free us from slavery to sin and death and protect us in all our weakness. Holy and compassionate God, your Son went not up to joy before he suffered pain and entered not into glory before he was crucified. Grant that we, walking in the way of the cross, may find it the way of life and of peace. Most merciful God, your blessed Son, our Savior, was betrayed, did suffer, and his face was spat upon. Grant us grace and the whole world grace to endure the sufferings of the present time, to overcome all that seeks to overwhelm us, and give us confidence of the glory that shall yet be revealed. O God, by the example of your Son, Jesus Christ, you taught us the greatness of true humility and call us to watch with him in his passion. Give us grace to serve one another in all lowliness and to enter into the fellowship of his suffering. Hear these prayers that we lift up to you this day, O God. Hear as well all of the prayers that we hold close to our hearts, and help us in this week ahead to keep our focus on you and on your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. And thank you for all that he does for us in this week ahead, as we ask all of it in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
I invite you to stand as we sing together, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Cross.
And so, friends, were you there? Were you there in the procession of the palms? Were you there at the foot of the cross so long ago? If we are able to answer yes, hear the power of this day, that the Son of God looks at you with all the power that there is, but with a love, a look that is bounded by love. Hold on to that thought as we go now to serve in the joys and challenges of this week, and also as we encourage and invite all of you to return back this Thursday night for our Holy Thursday service and for our Good Friday service. And go in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. As all God's people say, Amen.